Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, the sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Ah, yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, come. Yeah, you can put the offering there. Yeah? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us now mindfully recall to mind the great wisdom and virtue of Sakyamuni Buddha, together with all the great beings, all the bodhisattvas and Buddhas. Namo Bunsi Sakyamuni Pho. Namo Bunsi Sakyamuni Pho. Namo Bunsi Sakyamuni Pho. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Ami Tofo. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Mila Pho. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 1. We will commence the actual Pali chanting. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majjhapamadatthana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganda sarapaditena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang dang Pujayami tamonudam ganda sambara yutena dupena suganghina janiyang tang puja bacana mutamang vanna ganda gono petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena matena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tatayati vinasa bhavang adivase tuno bante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang adivase tuno bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang. Now let us chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the offerings. Offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soonest possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujemi, Dhammang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Oh, never mind. Brother Tune, they are not coming here. I thought message. Okay. Okay. You all can off the light. Then we can have, I think today you can have more time. You can have about 30 minutes of meditation. Okay. For those who have already developed the training of the mind, you can start your meditation straight away. For those who still need to train the mind, you do it using whatever skillful means that you are familiar with. If you need to decondition the heedless thinking and overcome the spiritual faculties, overcome the mental hindrance, the five mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative states of inner peace and inner mindfulness and inner awareness, you can use mind sweeping method followed by metta to decondition your heedless thinking. The five mental hindrance will be at bay temporarily. Then after that, you can stabilize that peaceful mind, the meditative mind that you have developed through the mind sweeping method and metta, the inner peace leading to inner well-being. Then from there on, you can just relax and silent everything. You have any object of meditation that you are familiar with, then you anchor that sati that you have developed or mindfulness that you have developed until it becomes very stable. If you don't have any object of meditation, you can try anapanasati. Then after that, just relax and silent. If the mindfulness starts to develop and become stable, then you continue to relax into it. Every mind state that arises, just relax and silent. Maintain awareness within. The mind that is quiet, peaceful, silent and aware is the meditative mind. So that is the mind that can really develop the meditation. So the training of the mind is to just to stabilize this inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. Then when you can be in that state, you just maintain a relaxed state of mind, relax into every mind state that arises. Whatever that arises, whatever experience, body and mind, just relax into it and silent. Maintain that mindfulness until the mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful and very still. That is the silent mind, that is the meditative mind. Then when you can stabilize that, it becomes paucity, tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind. Then when you are able to develop it to that stage, your mind will enter sati on its own. So when the mind is in sati, it will continue to become quiet, peaceful, tranquil and silent and still. Then this mind can meditate, can understand many, many things. All of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, you can start to witness them. Through that silence, through that sati, you will understand many, many things. You will understand how your form and mind arise and pass away, how they function. And you can relate to all the essential Dhamma. You can see the unfolding of the Four Noble Truths within your own form and mind. You can even see your spiritual faculty arising, your seven factors of enlightenment arising. You can experience all of the dependent origination, the dwelling, paticca-samuppada, all this you will come to experience them. So through that silence, you will finally realize the universal characteristic. You will insight into the universal characteristics of impermanence leading to suffering state, the empty nature or non-self nature. There is no permanent unchanging entity in this universe. All of phenomena, may be physical, mental or nature's phenomena, they exhibit these characteristics. They are called universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. So the main purpose of this meditation is to insight into the universal characteristic. That's why some people call it vipassana. Vipassana has two words, vi and pasana. Pasana is to insight into vi, is the three universal characteristics. So whatever meditation that can lead you to this type of insight or awakening, you can call it vipassana. So vipassana is not a method or a technique. Method and technique are just skillful means to train the mind. Vipassana is a process where after you have developed the silent mind, when the condition is right, when everything falls into place, the silent mind will insight into phenomena and develop the understanding. Okay, I'll let you all continue with the meditation on your own. Then I will ring the bell after about 20 or 25 minutes. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Turn to page 6. We will now chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. We will chant together. Samantha Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Svakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabhu Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidam chattari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo, pahuneyo, dakineyo, anjali karaniyo, anutaram punyaketang lokasati. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Triple Jab. Buddhang Pucchayami. Dhammang Pucchayami. Sanghang Pucchayami. Okay. relax your body and mind, yeah? Then maintain some form of attention. Then we will start the Diamond Sutta. We finished chapter 13. We are now at chapter 14. So before we start, turn to page 1. We will chant the verse for opening the sutta. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then turn to page 107, chapter 14. Still extinction apart from Marx. This one, I will read to you the other version first, so that we can have better understanding. Chapter 14. At that time, after listening to this sutta, Subhati had understood its profound meaning and was moved to tears. He said, "What a rare and precious thing it is that you should deliver such a deeply profound teaching. Since the day I attained the eye of understanding, thanks to the guidance of the Buddha, I have never before heard teaching so deep and wonderful as this. Most honored one, if someone hears this sutta and has pure and clear confidence in it, they will have a profound insight into the truth. Having perceived that profound insight, that person will realize the rarest kind of virtue. Most honored one, that insight into the truth is essentially not an insight into the truth, but is what the Buddha called insight into the truth." Well, this particular chapter 14 is also very useful, because under this chapter, Subhati came to realize the profound teaching with regards to this Diamond Sutta as proclaimed by the Buddha. So, like it's mentioned here, he said, thanks to the guidance of the Buddha, he said he had never heard before teaching which is so deep and wonderful as this. Then he also knew, he said, most honored one, if someone hears this sutta and have pure and clear confidence in it, this part you have to pay attention, have pure and clear confidence in it, means you not only have sadha, but you are being very sincere. So this pure and clear, clear means there is clarity, there is understanding. So when you listen attentively, with this pure, clear confidence, means the sadha, together with a clear mind, and untinted means pure confidence, they will have a profound insight into the truth, means they will awaken. Having perceived that profound insight, that person will realize the rarest kind of virtue. That's why this is the realization that will bring forth the understanding of the Diamond Suttas in its most profound nature. Means no mark of a self cultivating, no mark of any living being being saved or liberated. Then no mark of any phenomena or any characteristics that arise. Means whether it's Dhamma or not, they all belong to the conditioned world. So this understanding is so profound that Subhati say that person will realize the rarest kind of virtue. Then after that, your cultivation become very different. Then he said, most honored one, that insight into the truth is essentially not insight into the truth, but is what the Buddha called insight into the truth. So this is for the conditioned world. You need to use word, you need to express it. But ultimately, you cannot really express it. Just like what the Tao is. According to Lao Tzu, Tao ke Tao, Fei Chang Tao. Whatever that can be described, speak about, talk about, or communicated, that is not the true Tao. Because these one are words and concept. Not that thing. That thing is just suchness. Thing is just the way it is. That reality, nothing else. So this is the first part of chapter 14. Then we move on to second part. Then Subhati again said, most honored one, having listened to this sutta, I'm able to receive and retain it with faith and understanding. Means Subhati has the condition to understand them and to maintain the understanding. This is not difficult for me, but in ages to come, Subhati knew, especially the last 500 years, Dhamma ending age, before the Dhamma ending age. If there is a person who hear this sutta, who receive and retain it with faith and understanding, then that person will have a rare, will be a rare one. Means during Dhamma ending age, if you still have a being who can understand this, he is one of the very, very special, rare beings, cultivator. A person of most remarkable achievement. Such a person will be able to awaken pure faith because they have ceased to cherish any arbitrary notion of their selfhood, their own selfhood, or other beings, or other self, or a universal self. Why? Because if they continue to hold on to such arbitrary conception as to their own selfhood, they will be hold on to something that is non-existent. It is the same with all arbitrary conception of other self, living beings, or universal self. These are all expression of non-existence thing. Buddhas are Buddhas because they have been able to discard all arbitrary conceptions of form and phenomena. They have transcended all perception and have penetrated the illusion of all form. So from this last sentence, you will understand why the Surangama Sutta said, perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. That's why the wise one, they have transcended all perception. Means they have gone beyond all form Dhamma. And mind Dhamma. They have gone beyond thought, beyond mind. And they have penetrated the illusion of all phenomena and form. Means the condition arising world of consciousness and phenomena can never deceive them anymore. That's why this particular realization is very profound. Then the Buddha replied, so it is, Subhati. Most wonderful, blessed will be those beings who on hearing this sutta will not tremble nor be frightened or terrified in any way. And why? The Buddha had taught this sutta as the highest perfection. This is referring to those who are very rigid in their views. That's why in many of the Mahayana sutta, the introduction there, the front part, it seems the Surangama Sutta also same, the opening statement. When the Buddha was about to actually explain deeper into the sutta, it was mentioned, a lot who do sainthood way, or just the arahant way, they couldn't understand and they just walk off. So this is the meaning of on hearing this sutta, they will not tremble nor be frightened or terrified in any way. That's why wisdom is very, very profound. And it has unending understanding. When once penetrated, it can reach very profound level. Then the Buddha continued. And what the Buddha teaches as the highest perfection, that also the innumerable blessed Buddhas do teach. Therefore, it is called the highest perfection. So, Bhatti, when I talk about practice of transcendental patience, I do not hold on to any arbitrary conception about the phenomena of patience. I merely refer to it as a practice of transcendental patience. And why is that? Because when thousands of lifetimes ago, the prince of Kalinga severed the flesh from my limbs and body, and my bodies, I had no perception of a self, a being, a soul, or a universal self. If I cherished any of those arbitrary notions at that time, my limbs would have been torn away. I would have fallen into anger and hatred and delusion. Therefore, Subhati, disciples should leave behind all distinctions of phenomena and awaken the thought of the attainment of supreme enlightenment. A disciple should do this by not allowing their mind to depend on ideas evoked by the world of senses. You have to be very careful with this understanding. This statement is very powerful. World of ideas. You know what are ideas, isn't it? Not the reality. Views, opinion, concept created by thought, words. So especially the one created by the world of the senses, six and no. By not allowing their mind to depend upon ideas stirred by sound, odor or smell, flavors, sensory, tactile, touch, or any other qualities, the disciple's mind should be kept independent of any thought that might arise within it. If the disciple's mind depends upon anything in the sensory realm, it will have no solid foundation in any reality. That is why the Buddha teaches that the mind of a disciple should not accept the appearances of things as a basic when exercising charity. Subhati, as disciples practice compassion and charity for the welfare of all living beings, they should do it without relying on appearances and without attachment. Just as the Buddha declared that form is not form, so also he declares that all living beings are in fact not living beings. So this cultivation is very different. It has this profound understanding born of true penetration of the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature. Anicchang, Dukkang, and Anatta. That's why in the Heart Sutta it's mentioned, in true emptiness, all those Dhamma, old age, sickness, and death, birth, don't exist. Even Four Noble Truths don't exist. So when you come into the existential world, through a form of mind, karmically conditioned out, you have to connect, develop the penetrative understanding. Then from that understanding, that form of mind is not deluded anymore. Then you can say, it is no longer heedless, no longer deluded by the phenomenal world. Then this form of mind, you can say, is enlightened, but it's not you. So that's why you will know how to live. You will know how to use it. It is a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this universe, to this existential world, to develop all the experiences and whatever perfection. But before the wisdom is connected, there will be delusion. And this form of mind will follow that nature's law of karma. That's why the Buddha said we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. That refers to the form and mind, not your nature. So the form and mind has a duty. It's subject to all this. So when you cultivate with this understanding, then you are not deluded. You are not deceived. You know them for what they are. People call them this. In the conditioned world, such thing exists. But in the ultimate reality of true emptiness, they don't exist. So that's why you must have this supramundane understanding of wisdom together with the mundane understanding of the conditioned world, the secret of life and everything, the Four Noble Truths and all those things. For you to really understand life, then only you can live life. That's why to complement your mundane success, you must have this spiritual understanding. Otherwise, you will still have suffering. The form and mind will still fall, will still be deceived, deluded. And through this delusion, it will grasp, cling, and condition its own suffering. Then everything becomes real. Then there is such thing as law of karma. There is such thing as a being, a I and a me, with living beings. Yeah. Then the phenomenal world, the conditioned world, the world of form, sight and sound, they appear so real to you. That's how Sakkayaditi take hold and create all this self-delusion, Sakkayaditi, that condition your craving, your grasping, your clinging. And this is the cause of suffering. So all this can be understood when you develop the cultivation accordingly. Okay? So this is the reason why the Buddha explained very clearly under this chapter, form is not form. So he also declared that all living beings are in fact not living beings. So when you can penetrate that, then you can understand clearly, live life accordingly. That's why just now after dinner, when we came back, I also share a bit of this with some of the Kayanamitas. They are not what you think. Everything is condition arising, dependent originating. When there is no condition to help, no way. The law of karma is very powerful. Whatever that arises, that happens, there are causes and conditions behind. So if you use the mundane mind to perceive it, then you will arise the false delusion. Then you say, oh, very pitiful. Out of compassion, I must help, I must try, I must do this, I must do that. This is still delusion. Do not be caught by it. Not what you think. Form and mind is just form and mind. No reality. They come and they go. That's why the universal characteristics impermanent. The moment you give meaning, grasp, cling, suffering will arise. And it's empty, not a permanent unchanging entity. He no you, he no me. No mark of a cell. How can there be any mark of living being? Phenomenal. The world of form and consciousness. They are not what you think. So this is very penetrative. But once you develop this understanding, then you come back to a form and mind to cultivate. It becomes very different. Because you cultivate with understanding, you meditate with understanding, then you are not deceived, you are not deluded. You can use the form and the mind as a tool and a vehicle to serve you, to allow you to do what you want to do. And that one is the form and mind, nothing to do with your true nature. That's why it's not you. But this one is very beautiful because it will create a very different type of karmic nature. With that wisdom connected, that form and mind become beautiful. That form and mind understand, and through the understanding, it can perfect itself. That's how it creates the pure karmic nature, together with the spiritual perfection, spiritual nature. Then these two are the one that will protect you. If you choose to come, or you have to come. And this is how life can be wonderful. That's why true emptiness is wonderful existence, and this is precisely the deep, profound meaning behind. Then you are not confused. Every time you come, the moment you connect, your nature will understand. It will awaken to it, it will inherit straight away the spiritual understanding. Then you will reach back the level you are. Then from there, you become beautiful. You become a blessing to all. Yeah. Although before that, the form and mind is still protected in the sense that you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So you have perfected all this cultivation for a very long period of time. Then your karmic nature become very different. And this is the one that has this ability to give rise to all the understanding. Then it will be translated as vows, aspiration, or whatever understanding. Then when you make this determination, aspiration, vow, and aspiration, means by invoking the power of truth, or power of merits for causes and conditions for things to arise, then when you need to arise or have to arise, that form and mind that arise will become very, very beautiful, very unique. So this is the beauty of this Diamond Sutta. Okay, now we turn to Xuan Hua's page 107. We will start out with the first paragraph from the sutta. Still extinction apart from marks. Then Subhati, upon hearing the sutta spoken and deeply understanding its purport, weep and said to the Buddha, "How rare, well honored one, is this sutta, so profoundly spoken by the Buddha. From the time I realized the wisdom I until the present moment, I had never before heard such a sutta. Well honored one, if someone hears the sutta with a pure mind of faith, and then he produces real mark, that person should be known to have accomplished the foremost and most rarest merits and virtue." So it's more or less the same, worded slightly differently. So let us go through the commentary by Xuan Hua, Master Xuan Hua. Sakyamuni Buddha had just said, "If someone gives as many as the seven precious gems as would fill the 3,000 great thousand world system, and as many bodies and lives as there are grains of sand in the Ganges River, his blessing and virtue do not equal those of a person who receive, holds and explains for others even as few as four lines of verse from the Prajna Sutta or Prajna Paramita Sutta." Why did he say that? Because giving bodies and life can at best save another's life. And because... sorry. And body. But does not thereby cause another to return to the origin, means to the source, to turn back to his original face, Panlaidimianmo. His originally existential Dhamma body. However, speaking Dhamma for another can cause him to return his back on the dust, unite with enlightenment, and realize Buddhahood, means return to the source. A living being's Dhamma body has therefore been saved, and consequently the merits and virtue is incomparable. Then Subhati, upon hearing the sutta spoken and deeply understanding its purport, Xuan Hua's explanation, commentary. Subhati completely understood the meaning and implication of the doctrine of no mark expressed in the Vajra Sutta. Weep. Tears flow from his eyes and his nose. Ran. Usually people cry when they are sad or worried. or something unfortunate happened. But occasionally they also cried from joy, just as Subhati then did. Extreme happiness brings sorrow. The Buddha expressed the depths of prajna so thoroughly that Subhati was overjoyed at being able to hear the specific teaching. The wonderful Dhammada of prajna. Prajna is wisdom. Subhati realized that his former contentment with the small vehicle's teaching has been misguided. His awakening may be thus expressed. You see, the sentence before is very beautiful. Subhati realized that his former contentment with the small vehicle. What does it mean? What is a small vehicle? Theravada level type of understanding. It means sainthood way. Leading to arahantship. So he used the word has been misguided because they thought that is the ultimate. But there is no denial that the Theravada sainthood way and arahant way is also an enlightenment, understand not? It also lead to the cessation of form and mind, realization of Nibbana, and they also finish off. Means there is no more rebirth of the segmented form and mind. Means upon death, parinibbana, the arahant will not take rebirth. But then there is no such thing as a perfection of all the 10 perfections. Perfection of wisdom and virtue leading to all-knowing knowledge, Sammasambuddhahood. And that nature is not there because the perfection for that nature is very different. The cultivation takes very long. So that's why now, after understanding this profound prajna, Paramita Sutta or the Diamond Sutta, Subhati realized that the cultivation with his understanding is so much more than the sainthood way. It's no more thought-based. It's no more just that realization. After you realize the sainthood way, let's say you end up as the Sotapanna or Sakadagami, Anagami, then finally you will realize arahantship. Because even as a Sotapanna, maximum 7 life, within the sensual realm, you will realize arahantship. And the realization of arahantship is actually just the beginning of the Bodhisattva way. You must have that understanding and use that understanding to cultivate. And that is very different, you understand? To use that understanding to start cultivate all the perfection again. And that is the real meaning of the Bodhisattva way, or the Buddhahood. Perfection of virtue and wisdom to realize the Sammasambuddhahood. So this part is very profound. That's why if you understand this, then you will know that the real cultivation is not just self-enlightenment. Is to go beyond the mark of a self-cultivating, realizing. Because even the sainthood way, finally, when they realize enlightenment, even as a Sotapan, they will know that there is no permanent unchanging entity within, that this form of mind is not them, but karmically conditional. But that understanding is just the beginning of the real cultivation of the perfection of Buddhahood. So that step is just the beginning. Like a lot of students in our education system, last time during the olden days, you remember? When you can go to Form 5, take Cambridge exam, you're already very happy because you can apply for what? To become a teacher, you can apply to go for teacher training. And that time to be a teacher is very, very prestigious. And a lot of people want to become teacher. then if you are more ambitious, you continue and you study Form 6. Then in Form 6, you not only learn the education, you not only learn science, maths, or arts, you also have a paper called General Paper, which talks about maturity of thought, where you are taught to understand things in a deeper manner. That's why there is a book called Understanding and Criticism, something like that. And I like that subject because it opens up our mind to understand more things. So to a lot of people, after Form 5, you think that is the end phase of your education system. But when I went to Form 6, I wrote this essay. I remember my teacher liked the essay so much. The comment he put down there, you know what she wrote or not? Yeah? Forwards. She just say, rather deeply thought out than he signed. And that was the teacher that actually respected me a lot. And he liked the way I put it. So I started the essay by saying this. I still remember, because that was from my very deep understanding of the thought process and life. I say, human beings is a gregarious being. You know what is a gregarious being or not? You know that word, gregarious? You need companion. Understand or not? Understand or not? Means you need somebody to be with. To be able to live life. You cannot stay alone. They need relationship and other things. They need to have friends or colleagues or family members, loved ones and all those things. Then the second part is, I say, humanity or living being is also, or human being is also a creature of thought. That time I already knew, you know, they think a lot. Then after that I said, to me, Form 6 is just the beginning of real tertiary education, means the higher education. It's a stepping stone to tertiary education. And because of that, my teacher knew my thought process at that time, my understanding of life was so different. That's why he used only forward, rather deeply thought out. I should have kept that essay. I don't know where I left that book. Then I was full of joy when I received that comment. I knew my mind was ahead of many, many people of my age, of my contemporaries or my peers. So at that time, my mind was probing very deep into life. Of course, I didn't mention about the spiritual aspect yet. The time I only knew about the Four Noble Truths, but I haven't really went deep into it. I started immediately after Form 5, 1971. The moment I read that book, Chief Reverend, What Buddhists Believe, then when I knew what my mother did, the Chinese traditional practice, they had nothing to do with Buddhism, then I became interested in reading up what Buddhism is all about. Then when Chief Reverend mentioned about the essence of the Buddha's teaching being the Four Noble Truths, the moment I read the Four Noble Truths, I don't know what happened. Deep inside my nature, it just like opened up with joy. Then straight away, the message from inside is, no need to search. This is the truth. Nobody, no living being in this universe 2,600 years ago can have this understanding and summarize all his understanding into Four Noble Truths. Very simple and yet very profound truth that can summarize to me all of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. At that time, I already had the understanding. I don't know why. It must have been from the past cultivation. That's why I said, you must make vow, life after life, to have this understanding when you have to come or you choose to come. So that the moment you receive all this truth, not necessarily all, any of this truth, straight away your nature will connect. You will recognize them. You will understand them. Then you will know what to do. Yeah. That's why that cultivation, that perfection, based on all that understanding from the past, is very, very important. That's why for you to have this understanding, this life, is very important. That if you value it, treasure it, cherish it, you should determine strongly. So that life after life, like the Bodhisattva vow, I read to you all last Tuesday, you go back, read through, determine. Then this will prepare you for all of your future coming. That's why this is a very, very beautiful window, a very unique window for cultivators of the way who have the affinity and the condition to receive this and to make use of it, so that it will set you free for eternity, not only just this life, all of your future coming, if you have to come or you choose to come. This is what you need, not to take chance. Every birth, you hope for the best. There is no such thing as hope for the best. Either you have the condition or you don't have the condition. Okay? Can follow? Huh? You cannot follow, you better put up your hand and ask. Can follow or not? Good. You can follow me, it's good. Then we continue. That's why now you understand why Subhati said, Subhati realized that his former contentment means he's contented with the teaching of the Dhammadhar of the small vehicle. Teaching has been misguided. His awakening may be thus expressed. So he expressed it beautifully in this stanza, four-line stanza. Upon realization, I do not reproach myself for the past. Means, forget about what happened, understand? In the past, you are contented with a small vehicle. Never mind, just let it be. I know that in the future, I can rectify mistake, aware that I am not too far down the muddle path. I have now awakened to today's right and yesterday's wrong. Means he has this understanding that the real cultivation is still a long way to go. Yeah. And when you have that understanding, you are not trapped in complacency, understand? Because you think you know already. Yeah. The small vehicle was Subhati's mother path, and his further awakening indicates that his former attachment to the small vehicle Dhamma has not been very great. He had not gone too far down the mother path. Awakened to today's right and yesterday's wrong means he had realized it was right for him to seek the greater vehicle, the great vehicle Dhamma, and that his former fondness of the sound hearing, hearer fruit of the small vehicle Dhamma, had been a mistake. He greeted those realizations with great emotion. However, so he wept with joy and exclaimed, how rare. In the first section of this, of the text, Subhati also said, how rare, by way of praise for the real Mark Prajna. He found expression in every moment of Sakyamuni Buddha's walking, standing, sitting and lying down in the performance of his daily affair. This second exclamation of how rare regards the sutta. Subhati means to say, there has never before been such a sutta, world-honored one. So this part you understand, huh? Yeah. So the first realization was Subhati realized. Yeah? That's why he expressed it by way of praise for the real Mark Prajna, which he found expression in every moment of Sakyamuni Buddha's walking, standing, sitting, and lying down in the performance of his daily duty, means his daily life. He is fully aware, fully heedful, mindful. Means the Buddha has got no mark when he do all this. He understands clearly what form and mind is. What that Nimana Kaya or his own functional body is. Yeah. So all this is very beautiful. Then the second exclamation of how rare is regarding the sutta. Yeah. That's why he said it is very rare. The sutta which our original teacher Sakyamuni Buddha now speak is so profound that it is difficult for those of the small vehicle to comprehend. Yeah. If you are not follow my sharing, it will be very difficult for me to even start this sutta, I tell you. A lot of you with your conditioning from your past cultivation or what you have been told, you can never understand all this and you can never accept all this. You will feel that what type of teaching is this? Especially when you reach all those very profound type of teaching where it talk about everything that you mention, you think is real, is actually not real. Then whatever that is spoken is actually not spoken. Nothing is spoken. Then like the Heart Sutta, in true emptiness, everything that the Buddha taught doesn't exist. There is no Four Noble Truths also. No awakening, no enlightenment. No realization, nothing. So all these are very abstract and very difficult for people to understand or accept. Then if you are very rigid in your view, you hold on to your view tenaciously, you will straight away turn your back because the atta is there. The views and the opinion and the conditioning is so strong. The mind, the thought will tell you, how can it be this way? No way. Definitely something wrong. So these are the what they call condition behind why all those in the smaller vehicle, the sainthood way, they cannot actually comprehend this type of teaching. And some of them, they really, really just walk away. Because to them, it's like no meaning. Okay, we go on. From the time I obtained the wisdom eye, disciple Subhati followed Sakyamuni Buddha to study Buddha Dharma and obtain the wisdom eye, means the sainthood way, awakening. The wisdom eye may refer to one of the five eyes, or may also refer to using wisdom as one eye, rather than blindly following along with the crowd. If the blind leads the blind, then none can find their way. This one is true there. Blind leading the blind. How to find the way. Those who lack wisdom are led about blindly. Those with the wisdom eye distinguish right from wrong, black from white, and Dhamma from what is not Dhamma. That's why Subhati said, all the wisdom I obtained since I first began the cultivation of the way does not measure up to the prajna which Sakyamuni Buddha just spoke. Subhati further said, I believe what I hear. Well, honored one, if someone hears the sutta with a pure mind of faith, is there such thing as an impure faith? This is a question. Is there such thing as an impure faith? Faith is sadha, isn't it? Can sadha be impure? Huh? What do you think? Pure means perfect faith, devoid of doubt. That is the meaning. Means there is no more doubt. Means you have put it to test, investigated into it, and you have awakened to it. That's why your faith becomes unshakable. And this pure faith is not belief. It's born of understanding. That's why there is no more doubt. All second thoughts have been renounced, and only one clear, pure thought of faith remains. A person with such faith gives rise to real Mark Dhamma, the wisdom of no mark. His realization is ultimate, and his mark, and his merit and virtue incomparable. Why? Because he has unified his mind of faith and relinquished all doubt. It is by his total belief through understanding that he obtained the principle and substance of real mark, and he thus is very rare, foremost. So this is how Xuanhua explained the commentaries. Then we go on to the second part. World Honored One, the real monk is no monk. Therefore, Tathagata calls it the real monk. So that's why when you are from the small vehicle, when you hear this, you will feel very funny. That's why he used the word terrified. terrified. Okay. Well, Honored One, now as I hear this sutta, I believe, understand, receive, and hold it without difficulty. If in the future, in the last 500 years, there are living beings who, when they hear this sutta, believe, understand, receive, and hold it, such person will be foremost and most rare. And why? Such person will have no mark of self, no mark of others, no mark of living being, and no mark of alive. And why? The mark of self is no mark. The mark of others, the mark of living beings, and the mark of alive are no marks. And why? Those who have relinquished all marks are called Buddhas. Then we go to the commentary. Subhati said that one who has a single thought or pure faith produces real mark. Real mark is no mark, yet there is nothing which does not have mark. It neither possesses mark nor is devoid of mark. Well honored one, at present I, Subhati, hear the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta, and with pure faith I understand the wonderful Dhamma of Prajna, can receive it with my mind, hold it with my body, and not forget it. I do so without difficulty. Why was it so easy for Subhati? Because he had planted good roots for many kapas. See? You must have cultivated for many, many aeons. Kapas is aeons. If he had lacked good root, then upon hearing the wonderful Dhamma of Prajna, his faith would have been defiled by doubts and skepticism. However, in the past, he had made offering to limitless Buddhas and had planted all good roots of which there are 11. Times. So these are the very important virtue that you must have. The first one is the spiritual faculty of sadha, faith. This one, shame and remorse. This one is not in the negative sense, understand? This one is born of wisdom. Means you cannot do all those things anymore, understand? Not to say that you like feel shameful, understand? Shame is you know that you cannot do it anymore. Means you can have that sense of understanding that it is wrong to do. Then remorse. If you have remorse, means you are not a cultivator, understand? But this one is not the negative sense. means you can never do it anymore. You have that understanding. It's not correct. That's why they expanded it from the five spiritual faculty. They developed into 11. The next three is very easy. Non-greed, non-anger, non-delusion. Yeah. So this one is the three type of good roots. You would do well to produce a mind of shame and remorse. That's why you cannot do. Recognizing your own wrongdoing and changing the bad to good. In that way, you plant good roots. Lack of shame and remorse indicates a lack of good roots. So it's to assist you in your cultivation. You can understand that these are all evil action that can bring about evil karmic consequence. And there are things that you cannot do because it's very shameful. Then there are also things that you will not do because after that you will regret if you do it. So remorse is one of the other virtue. So lack of shame and remorse indicates a lack of good roots. But it's not a negative sense. It's true in understanding. Then the seventh one is virya. Vigor is virya. These are the spiritual faculty. That's why sadha, virya. Then tranquility. Tranquility is stillness of mind, silent mind. When you are in sati, leading to pasati, then you have tranquility. Then non-laxity. You know what is laxity? What is laxity? What is the meaning of that word? Lazy. Understand? You understand this word or not? Laxity is lazy. Understand? Laziness means you don't have real virya. That is explained. Non-laxity means not being careless or lazy, not running wild and being too casual. It also means not disobeying the moral rules. If you are not lax, then you follow rules. In a way, you can say it's heedfulness. Non-heedless. Then non-harming. Then non-harming means not hurting other, means you don't kill or harm fellow living beings. Then renunciation means cultivating renunciation so that you will not attach to the marks of giving and all those things. So renunciation can be cultivated at many levels. The first type of renunciation is what? At the form level. So when you enter monkhood, they call it there is a Pali word, I think it's called vivika. Vivika. The first one is what is the first one really? I forgot already. I cannot remember that one. It is the renunciation of the first level means you give up all the materialistic thing, your loved ones, your possession. That's why you renounce the world. Then after that, you renounce the mind, citta vivika, then upadhi vivika. The first one I forgot, what is it? Akaya, kaya vivika, renunciation from the form, means worldly renunciation, means whatever that is out of this body means you renounce them all. Your property, your wealth, your reputation, even your name, your loved one. That's what entering monkhood is all about. They call it the life of a renunciate. You renounce the world to become a monk. So this 11th one is renunciation. This is the Mahayana way of subdivision. Okay, these are the 11 good phenomena of the 51 that belong to the mind. He mentioned 51, he should be 52. 52 are mind states, sankhara. Because Subhati has cultivated the good roots for limitless kappa, means for very long, it was not difficult for him to believe or to understand. He realized, however, that anyone in the Dhamma ending age, the last 500 years, at the time when people are strong in fighting, who could believe, understood, receive, and uphold the sutta? Whoever who can do that would be a foremost individual and very rare indeed. And why? Such person or people will have no mark of self, meaning they have no greed, no mark of others, meaning they have no anger, no mark of living beings, meaning they are not stupid, no mark of life, meaning they have no desire, they have no greed, no anger, no stupidity or desire. These four kinds of attachment they relinquish. The four marks are without a mark. No mark is real mark. Real mark is no mark. And why? Because real mark is also distinct from all which has no mark. If you can obtain real mark, that is obtaining the principle substance of the self nature of all Buddhas, means you must have realized your own true mind or true nature. Those who have relinquished all marks are called Buddhas. Therefore, you too can certainly become a Buddha. So this is Jianhua's commentary. So far, any question? You got anything you want to maybe just ask? Pass the mic to Polian.
Raja Teo, during this sutta, when Sakyamuni Pho was talking to Subhati, that time does the Theravada arise already? I think that is the Sakyamuni time, no Theravada, no Mahayana.
No. What is your question? Important?
Subhati say he mentioned he realized that the formal cultivation that he followed was small vehicle. I understand that time Sakyamuni Pho, when he's
there is no Theravada or Mahayana. Theravada, Mahayana, Vajrayana came after him. Because when he teach the Dhamma. But because initially there are five periods of time where he teach the Dhamma. So the first period is just for sainthood way. That's why he just teach the handful of leaf. You know what are the handful of leaf or not? The Four Noble Truths, which is conducive for enlightenment. The rest are not conducive. But they consist of very, very different understanding. Then later on, as they develop this understanding, there are some close disciples of the Buddhas who has been cultivating with him also for a very long period of time. As I Subhati is one of them, the top ten disciple. But every life when they come, because of their what they call lack of ability to connect fast and now. So most of them will not have the condition to receive this higher teaching until later period. Then later period, when he starts to teach, because there are some who can understand deeper and have those roots. Then when he started teaching that one, then only those who can understand manifest. Then only Subhati realized that he has also actually cultivated for a very long time. But because in the past, he also at certain time during cultivation, that's why he said he do not regret all those things. Even though at certain time of his cultivation, especially early years, he was contented with the sainthood way, anasana. That's why a lot of this so-called Theravada practitioner or cultivator, you know what I used to hear from them or not? Especially during the early years, Yun Chan Deo. Ayo, Brother Deo, sainthood enough, lo. Sotapan also enough. Lo. Oh, don't go and dream until Arahan, is it? All those things like very, very beyond. So people are very contented with the sainthood way, and you cannot blame them, because when you look around the world, you see how all these heedless living beings, the Puttajana, how they suffer, how they lack the condition to receive the Dhamma. And for those who have the condition to receive the Dhamma, how few are there who really determine to cultivate, to develop the faith, the understanding, and all those things. That's why by that time, you filter all this down, you realize people who really want to go this way are very, very rare, small in number. That's why they strive so hard. Then they realize the sainthood way is already something very, very special for them, understand? So that's why initially there is a lot of cultivators who are contented with the sainthood way, with the initial awakening or understanding. But it is only after you connect through the cultivation, after you pass through the sainthood, then only it will lead to the condition for you to connect back to your past cultivation. That if you realize that you have done this before in the past, then the condition will arise. You will meet up with those teachers who can actually guide you along. Or sometimes your cultivation is already so stable. You have reached that level of cultivation where you don't need teacher. Any line you come, even without the Dhamma, Sasana, Buddha Sasana, where the Dhamma is still around, those cultivators, those beings, they will still have the causes and conditions to go back to the level that they have reached in their cultivation. Then they will continue with that type of cultivation. Then when they have the condition to come during the Buddha Sasana, where the Dhamma is still around, then they connect very fast. They will understand very fast. Then they will realize the truth very fast. That's why all these are condition arising, cause of phenomena. Depend on your past, depend on your condition. So that time there was no division, like you rightly point out. But there are still a lot of cultivators who are very contented with the small vehicle or the sainthood way. Then later on, as Sakyamuni went through the third phase of Dhamma, the third phase of the... There are five phases of Dhamma teaching during his time. The Mahayana actually recorded all this. It is only after the third, the fourth period, and the fifth period that he started to teach all this Mahayana Sutta. And all these Sutta, they were not recorded in the Theravada, because at that time, Ananda was still just a Sotapan. Then when he created the transformation body, you remember? To help the mother, the stepmother who passed away and was born in the Devarim. So he was teaching them up there for 3 months, it seems. And those teaching are the higher teaching. They call it the Abhidhamma and all those things. The Bodhisattva way and all those things. That's why under that Mahayana tradition, they say there is a Bodhisattva called Dragon Tree, Long Su Pusa. That Bodhisattva also very special. He also can comprehend and understand the teaching very fast. Then he can retain that understanding, then share it with people. He is just like another version of Ananda in the existential world. So according to Mahayana, all this sutta came from the sharing by Sakyamuni Buddha at the Devarim. They were the Mahayana sutta, like the Amitabha sutta, Heart sutta, and all those things. So these were the ones that they actually received. So you read their sutta, you will know. Then from there, when Bodhidharma went over to China to become the first patriarch, then because those teachings were there, so it was somehow retained. Then all these patriarchs later on, when they arise, they were able to teach all this teaching. That's why the Mahayana teaching didn't appear in India. You realize or not? It was not mentioned or hardly taught. It was only when Bodhidharma came over to China, became the first patriarch, that as it passed down, then this teaching come about. That's why a lot of this Theravada tradition do not accept Mahayana. So initially, the first or second council, I think, they don't accept at all. So they limit to their own, what they call, the orthodox tradition. They call it the teaching of the elders. That's why they call it Theravada. But at that time, the Mahayana already called them the small vehicle, Hinayana. So all this misunderstanding come about. But then they got no choice. Because during that time, India came up. The Hindu teaching become very popular. They assimilate all the good teaching of the Buddha. Maybe that could be the reason. That's why it's only taught to them, the Theravada. So they assimilated everything. Then they kicked Buddhism out of India. Because during that time, the debate, the Theravada got no match for them. Because they were so much ahead in their understanding and their teaching. So the Theravada realized whatever in the sutta that they have learned, they cannot cope. In all the debate, they lost. They lost. Then like Chief Reverend K. Sridharmananda, I remember, he mentioned, he said it was because of Mahayana. So the Mahayana came. Then they enter into all those debate with this Hindu practitioner, philosopher, and all those very supposedly wise people. Then it's only the Mahayana that can mesh their understanding, then able to defeat them in most of the debate. So because of that, don't know under the third Buddhist council or what, Abhidhamma was accepted. The higher teaching was accepted. But they still insist that it's Theravada. So actually this higher teaching, which is the Abhidhamma, was never in the Theravada teaching. So these are history, not so important. More important is your cultivation. When you can develop the understanding and the cultivation, you will understand. Okay? Any more questions? Any more? Otherwise, we continue. Okay. Page 110, Oh, 111 already. Okay. Oh, the last paragraph. Huh? The Buddha told Subhati, "So it is, so it is. If someone hears the sutta and is not frightened or alarmed or terrified, you should know that that person is most rare. And why, Subhati? The foremost paramita is spoken of by the Tathagata as no foremost paramita. Therefore, it is called the foremost paramita. Subhati, the paramita of patience is spoken of by the Tathagata as no paramita of patience. Therefore, it is called the paramita of patience. And why? Subhati, it is as in the past when King of Kalinga dismember my body, means they actually tear apart the limbs from his body. At that time, I had no mark of self, no mark of others, no marks of living being, and no marks of alive. No, they just stop here. Then we go to the commentaries. After the Buddha had heard Subhati's explanation, he said, "So it is, so it is. You think that way, and I think that way too. The doctrine you speak is correct. If someone hears the Vajra Prajna Paramita Sutta and is not frightened or alarmed or terrified, why would it frighten people? Ordinary people have always been attached to the marks of self. So if they are told there is no self, they are very frightened. What?" they exclaim. "Where did I go? How can there be no me? I am always here. How can I myself not exist?" Those of the two vehicles have realized the emptiness of self, but have not yet realized the emptiness of Dhamma. When they hear that even the Dhamma should be relinquished, they become terrified. "How can I give up the Dhamma? If I cast aside the Dhamma, what will I use in cultivation? I will not have anything." Although fully accomplished Bodhisattva has certified to the emptiness of self and the emptiness of Dhamma, they have not obtained emptiness of emptiness. They have not realized that emptiness also must be empty. With emptiness so remaining, there is an attachment to it. The Buddha Dhamma teaches not to be attached to self, not to be attached to phenomena. However, when there is no self and no phenomena, emptiness arises. Involvement with that emptiness can cause one to be waylaid by it. Loitering in emptiness, stop in stillness, one simply got the emptiness within which one dwells. That is also a mistake. So when Bodhisattva who had not realized the emptiness of emptiness here of real mark, the principal substance of prajna, which does not even admit of emptiness, they also become alarmed and terrified. This is Zhenhua's way of the commentary to describe it. A person who hears the sutta is not frightened or alarmed or terrified. Understand the true proper Dhamma of Prajna Paramita. Therefore, Sakyamuni Buddha say, you should know that that person is most rare. Like I said just now, if you hold on to your viewpoint tenaciously and you believe that what you have understood is the truth, then whatever that is spoken against it, you will not accept. You will have doubt. That's why you will tremble and all those things. And you will be like terrified and all those things. But if you have already developed the true cultivation and penetrated the cultivation of no mark, then you got no more such problem. That's why he also mentioned here, loitering in emptiness, stop in stillness. One simply guards the emptiness within which one dwells. This one is still a trap, you understand not? You can follow or not? Yeah, I read again. Loitering in emptiness, stop in stillness. One simply guards the emptiness within which one dwells. You know what is this practice or not? This is like sensu, understand or not? When you have realized that silence, the stillness, the emptiness, you think that is it. That is not cessation. That is still a mind, very subtle, dwelling inside there. That's why he said loitering around. Who is loitering around? The thought, understand or not? The subtle mind. Then stop in stillness. You think that's it, finish. Stillness. Stay there. Then one simply guards the emptiness. Then like sensu, polish until it shines so that no dust can lie. So that the stillness is always there. That is not the way to cultivate. The real cultivation is relax, silent, aware, and let the cessation arise. When the cessation arises, you will understand completely. But before the cessation arrives, the daily mindfulness is very important. The three turning, especially the second turning, you have to contemplate all Dhamma and penetrate all Dhamma until very, very stable, until you truly understand and realize the Dhamma of no mark. Then within the understanding, the mind will realize itself and just cease. Then the cessation will happen. Then the realization of Nibbana will take place. Okay, we read on. Someone with a little merit and virtue who displays it and advertises himself like the Emperor Wu of Liang Dynasty is stupid and has not understood the Dhammadhar of Prajna in which everything past is gone. If you cling to even one tiny portion, you have obstruction. The Heart Sutta says, because there is no obstruction, there is no fear. If you harbor merits and virtue in your heart, there is an obstruction. If inverted dream-like thoughts are left far behind, you have no obstruction. Because there are no obstruction, there is no fear. Fear refers to being frightened, alarmed, or terrified. When inverted dreams-like thoughts are left far behind, ultimately Nirvana. That's why realization of Nibbana. That is the extremely wonderful doctrine of the Heart Sutta. Sakyamuni Buddha asked Subhati, why is the person who hears the Sutta has no fear? Most rare. Then he explained that it was because the foremost paramita is spoken of by the Tathagata as no foremost paramita. Therefore it is called foremost paramita. The foremost paramita refers to the perfection of the principle of the middle way, which if viewed in light of common truth, is the foremost paramita. It is spoken of from the point of view of actual truth. It is no foremost paramita. Because actually there is absolutely nothing, not even a foremost paramita. Therefore it is called foremost paramita. If regarded from the point of view of perfect truth, the middle way, it is given the name foremost paramita, and that is all. Okay, I think we stop here. We got, I think, 4 more minutes to go. Okay, we stop at page 113. We will continue from page 114. You can go back and read up so that we can finish off this chapter 14 by next Tuesday. Oh, still quite a lot of pages. Still 7 pages. Oh, 8. Oh, total 10. 10 more pages. Yeah, I think we can finish it off next Tuesday. Because most of it are explanation. The sutta part is not that much. We can finish. Okay. Do you have any question? If you don't have any question, maybe we can do the sharing of merits, transfer merits, then after that you can make your aspiration. Okay. Sharing of merits to the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to all the worthy ones, Buddhas and Bodhisattva. Then we end. I almost forgot. Actually, we supposed to allow some time for those who went to Rayong. They just came back yesterday to have the sharing. I was told they had very good condition there. So during dinner time, I think Brother Song and before we start the class, Sister Su also was there. So they share with us a bit. Then I forgot about it. That's why I didn't ask them to share. Remind me next Tuesday. We get them to share. Then by then, I think Yun Chan should be back also. Hopefully. When will Yun Chan be back? Oh, this Monday. Next Monday. Just nice, huh? So on the 19th. Next Tuesday is what day? Oh, 20th. So he just came back. Hopefully she attend. Then we get her to share too. So remember to remind me. Otherwise, like today, I forgot. Okay, thank you. You all can help to bring the food over there so that you can have your simple. Today, a lot of mooncake. You can have mooncake. Then next Thursday class, we had this informal gathering of Kayamita to celebrate the Mooncake Festival. You are all invited. Suyan's house, Brother Suyan's house. If you need the address, let us know. We will put it in the Tuesday class WhatsApp.